Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Start out by talking about, this is our probably our last MJF Punk interaction pre-pay-per-view, I have to imagine. I don't think we'll be getting anything on Rampage about this.
I don't know if CM Punk will have like recovered the blood that he needs to by then.
Did you see that picture of him? Like, I think it must have happened during commercial where it's like he was getting helped off stage by Sammy Guevara or whatever. The smile on his face, like it was like the cheer of violence. Beautiful. Leah's had a little excitement today, so I did ask if you would explain something. Do you not want to explain it? I can explain it.
No, I can explain it.
Okay, well, we're gonna start out. So Punk came out on Dynamite this week. He did another beautiful Shakespearean soliloquy, and this, as Leah, I thought it was really smart that you pointed out, kind of the third in a series. So we had Punk, and then we had the MJF response, and then we have Punk's response to MJF. Hit it.
So it felt like it was the end of a trio, where the first one was Punk being like, you know, I need to teach MJF a lesson because pride is a sin, and I have been there, and I'm going to teach him a lesson, and I'm going to make him a better person. And then the second of the speeches is MJF being like, actually, you've sort of already done enough to me. So
he's like, you made me this way. Yeah. I learned from watching you, Dad.
Yeah. Father lovers. It's always father lovers.
And then the third one was Punk being like, personal responsibility, actually. Maybe that's what needs to be happening. We are responsible only for our own behaviors. And MJF, you would need to ask yourself if you're a good guy.
Yeah. But with a little hint of like, I can acknowledge that you were hurt, and you need to acknowledge that it doesn't mean that you should hurt others. Like, kind of like, you've caused me to try and reckon with who I was and what I've done. And I'm trying to be good. Like, that was the upshot.
Yeah.
Which I really liked.
Yeah, it was a real, like, repentant, like, I'm on the road to recovery to being good now. And you can too, Max.
Yeah, Max, you can. So he said, Max, I need you to come out and respond in person. Max came out. He was doing, again, it is star of the show face acting. No just one is doing it excellent. Like Maxwell Jacob Friedman when it comes to just doing actual acting with your face. It's the real deal.
His little like resentful, sad. Yeah, it was a very affecting little face that he was doing there.
It was great. Very
impressive.
Punk extended the hand of like friendship, and MJF hugged him. Punk didn't know what to do. He was considering whether to hug back. Eventually,
he hugged him like a little burrow his face into Punk's baby, chest, like little a little boy. Baby boy
yeah.
hug.
Yeah. And then eventually Punk hugged him back. You saw this little smile from MJF, and then he fucked him up. And then he, I think he kneed him in the groin. They've been getting into those groin shots recently. They broke out the chain, the old chain and dog collar or whatever. I don't even know what I was seeing on my screen. There was so much blood that it was just like, oh my God.
Yeah. Well, like Wardlow brought out the diamond ring and Sean Spears brought out the dog collar and the chain, and then Punk, you know, bladed harder than anyone's ever bladed. Like, he was bleeding just like so much so fast. It was a little bit like, I think you cut a little too deep there, bud.
We've said that about quite a bit of blading recently. So actually, I think they might be doing blading lessons backstage where it's like, this is where you cut to get like the most blood, but you'll be feeling okay afterwards. No. Because we've said that about like every blading incident recently. We've been like, I think they went a little too deep too fast.
Very intense. Yeah. Do you think they're like hydrate a lot so that they bleed more? Would you bleed more?
I don't know.
Well hydrated.
Are they on blood thinners? Blood thinners.
Oh, someone did. Like, they're taking little bits of aspirin before, maybe.
Oh, that's smart. Shit, it's science.
It would be smart. Yeah, you wouldn't even need a prescription, which is good because you should not take a blood thinner. They're very dangerous.
That's why we don't work medical. You know what I mean? Yeah. So anyway. MJF fucked him up, and then and he took off his shirt, and he had like a face with the picture of him and Punk. He had the picture of him and Punk on the shirt, under the shirt he was wearing. Don't worry about it.
It looked real Superman when he ripped the button down off too to reveal his premeditation for this attack.
I also like that the shirt was like
premeditation.
It was not like well designed too. It was just like the picture, like that you would get like at like a t-shirt stand. I loved that.
It was totally like what your like fifth grade soccer team t-shirt quality would be.
Well, you know what? Tony Khan, I'm sure, knows this. Take care of the pennies, and the pounds will take care of themselves. So of course you just go to the t-shirt stand, Leah. You don't put a lot of money into it. You get a t-shirt.
And at AEW, the pounds are taking care of themselves.
Those pounds do be taking care of themselves.
They are pounding.
Okay.
And it's funny.
Wow, who's out of control this
Nothing
week?
But pounds. Yeah. Decorum.
They're like, we have to save up the pounds because Jungle Boy needs them.
They're all going to Jungle Boy's ass.
Oh my God, it's the piggy bank of AEW. Well, that's perfect. MJF like smeared Punk's blood across his pec. That's horny, I'll say it. And then he got in Punk's face and said the following, which I'll quote: "You stupid old man, I'm a snake. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing you that he didn't exist. I am the devil himself," which we later learned CM Punk himself said in a Ring of Honor promo in 2005.
The fact that it was Ring of Honor too.
I know.
Very nice.
Yeah,
very
we'll
nice.
Get to that.
Full circle. And I felt like the fact that CM Punk was calling whoever a stupid old man back then, and now MJF is calling CM Punk a stupid old man. It's just the generation. MJF is really setting himself up as the new CM Punk, which is bold of him, but
bold,
you know,
but he's
nice.
He's and it, the fact that CM Punk is doing the feud with him, CM Punk is basically being like, "Yeah, you can do it."
Yeah, passing this mantle down.
But anyway, in light of that analysis from Leah, that like the first one is him being like, "I'm going to teach you a lesson because I've been where you are," and they're going back and forth about like who Punk was and his actions and whether they were bad, and then MJF throws his own words back in his face. Baby, that's how you write. That's how you write.
It's like, it's good stuff.
It makes me so happy. Like, just structurally, even if I think it's working really well, but like, even if it weren't working perfectly, they are thinking about it. They're like, we are trying to make it hold together, and it does.
Yeah. And it's such a pleasure to just see two guys that are so good, like live on mic in the ring, like delivering a Shakespearean soliloquy. Yeah. It's just like,
because you never worry about them. I mean, that's like, I've said this a lot, that I have a lot of, it's crowd anxiety about how crowds will respond to things, and also like performer anxiety where I'm like, oh, I really hope you do a good job right now. I've never thought in my life about MJF. I think like CM Punk, because I didn't like trust him at first, like I was like, especially when he was on commentary, which I still do think he was a little deranged.
Yeah, he got a little wild on commentary.
But
it's a different type of performing,
that's
you know.
Right. But since he's been doing these promos, it's like, I never for a second think that you are going to lose control of the crowd, which is great.
Yeah.
So this was, anyway, this, we've kind of already gotten into this, but this whole thing was interesting because there was a lot of conversation, obviously, online about like, is MJF gonna face turn? Like, was this MJF's like plan from the beginning, and we're supposed to think of like the previous promo as being like fully part of this plan to like get Punk off his guard and like allow him to have this moment where he incapacitates him before the PPV? Do you guys have any thoughts about this? I kind of do, but I'll give it over to you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was exactly a plan, but I feel like the stuff MJF said in his soliloquy, I don't think was fake. Like, I feel like his character definitely like feels that way about CM Punk. And I think even the hug wasn't exactly fake. Like, I think MJF has a relationship with CM Punk, or in the characters, obviously, where it's like, he loves him and he hates him. It's very much like what an abusive like spouse feels for the other one, where it's like they love them so much that they want to smash their face in a lot of the time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like, yeah, they definitely, I was thinking again about like, we were talking about villains and villain arcs last week. And again, we've been watching our Buffy, and I was thinking about like the Buffy villains and like all TV shows where the villain becomes like, a good guy, which again, I'm not saying like MJF will become a good guy, but like he will become, hopefully, and he already has, like a villain that we feel more and more conflicted about at times. And it's like, it's very classic to be like, the villain has a moment where they have a plan to do something bad, and part of the plan involves like being vulnerable, and the vulnerability accidentally is real, like, or like partly on purpose, partly accidentally. They blade too deep.
Yeah, exactly.
And that like then to be treated with kindness makes it even worse. Like, right. It is like you accidentally hurt yourself really bad, and you're letting somebody else touch the wound, and like you lash out worse than you did before.
And there actually is, like, if you are accidentally vulnerable when you don't want to be, like if you cry at work, say, and then someone is too nice, it's like, no, please, like, I'll kill you. Stop it. You know, like, it's making it so much worse. Which is interesting.
Fake Sport Feel, who I'm continue to be obsessed with on Twitter, tweeted,
"Everything you're up to is great. We share all the same opinions. Come listen to our podcast. Check on in.
Did you see what they said about MJF this morning?
Do you want to read it?
Yeah. Two things can both be true: that within MJF still lives the scared child who's clung to his hero for comfort and still craves his approval, and that the man's bitter resentment that is calcified into hate so intense that he needs to destroy that which he loves the most.
Yeah. And that's always how it works. That is, again, it's storytelling. That's how it works.
Yeah. Well, and it is interesting because actually like an angry response to something is in some ways a powerless response. I'm just thinking about like Ask a Manager, like the blog where someone wrote in being like, how do I, like I yelled at an employee and it was really inappropriate, and how do I stop? And her point was like, you're the boss, so you can fire them. So you don't have to yell at them because actually you have a lot of power in this situation, and being angry is a powerless response.
Yeah.
And I feel like you can kind of see that with MJF too, where it's like the fact that he was accidentally or semi on purpose vulnerable makes him like real ready to lash out.
Yeah. Oh, it makes total sense. It's very interesting. We'll get into it in a minute, maybe like some of the other implications. Who is going to win at Revolution?
I don't know. I mean, I usually by the law of rematches, Punk should win this one. But I don't know. I wouldn't hate it if MJF won.
What do you think?
Yeah, I feel really unsure. But I do feel like with the Wardlow storyline that it would make sense for that storyline if Punk won because Wardlow turned on MJF and helped him.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Well, so let's get into the Wardlow stuff and then we can circle back on it. So this week, or on Rampage last week, Wardlow had one of his powerbomb matches against Nick Comoroto that he won. And there was like a little skirmish with Sean Spears, not skirmish, but like he was really annoyed at Sean Spears for doing his sexual monkey dancing with the chair afterwards. And then on Dynamite this week, he defeated Cesar Bononi. More power bombs. Sean Spears tried the chair stuff again. Oh, did he hit him? He hit him with the chair last week, accidentally. Is that right? No one remembers. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But this week, he tried to get in with his chair. with his chair again. And Wardlow, like, grabbed it, shut it down, was just like, yeah, we are not doing the chair thing. Sean Spears actually did some shockingly good face acting about that.
He it went was. On an entire journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was pretty good.
Right. Tap the no face journey sign on that one.
I did not know he had it in him. I feel like we've really, like, learned some people who can do some face acting, and it's MJF, Wardlow, and Sean Spears.
Well, you know what? So. They're probably going, they're doing lessons with each other.
Yeah, just, you know.
They're helping each workshop.
Other. Oh, that's nice.
I absolutely love that. A little theater group. Unfortunately, Sean Spears did. He was like, I know they're going to like this, so I'll take my cap off so they have to see my head again while I'm doing it to make sure like they don't get like too excited about me.
It's like my face acting pretty horny, but look at this head. Yeah, you're cooled off.
Yeah, I'm. You know what? I'm ice cold, baby. Anyway, so Sean Spears, I think, immediately kind of went and tattled to MJF. And then we got a promo where MJF was like, Wardlow, I get that you're upset. If you win the Face of the Revolution ladder match at the PPV, you can keep the belt. Or the what is it? The belt? Is it for a belt?
Yeah, they're gonna win.
Yeah, sorry, what's it
so
for?
So the ladder match, whoever wins the ladder match gets a shot at the title.
At the title. Okay, gotcha. Thank you. Yes, I was like, I know a title came into it. Now I'm like, what is it? The ladder title.
I know.
I only am positive about this because Sarah's sister was in town and she was like we explained this to her and she was like, wait, so they do all that winning just to have another fight? They should just get the belt. And it was like, you win the shot at the belt. And she was like, I think that they should get something. And then she was like discussing prizes they could be given.
They should get a prize in addition to, like, it's like you get to pick something out of the case at Chuck E. Cheese.
Like a little, yeah, like a little trophy in the shape of a ladder,
The ladder prize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice.
Well, there's something there, Tony. But don't spend too much on it. Just take care of the pennies and the pounds live in Jungle Boy's ass. Anyway, so MJF was like, you can keep the title, but you're not going to win. Wardlow finally snapped back and was like, yeah, because I'm too busy fighting your battles to win my own. MJF immediately slapped him across the face. Mm. They did. It's always some of the most intense kissing pose, am I right? But
it was also a pretty intense slap. Like,
yeah.
Well, because it's so usually brisk. I can tell when it's fake, but like that felt very, it felt aggressive.
I agree.
And an open-handed slap is always very,
I'll say this.
Visceral.
It's like, when I see a slap, I only think of, of it as romantic.
It is the context where you see open-handed slapping the most is sort of a rom-com situation.
Unfortunately, that is what I mean, is that I'm like, narratively, the slap is so specific to me where I'm like, you know.
Good save, Anne.
Well, I think that it is what it is. It is what it is. But it was a very brisk and tight slap.
Tight, yeah. Cool.
What do you guys think the implications are for PPV? Leo, are you gonna edit this out? You're gonna get rid of
all of it. Actually, do you want to take it from the top? This is tunnel talk.
I've been fine this whole time, I'm pretty sure. In the immortal words of our son.
I think Wardlow turning at the pay-per-view, it's time. Like, I'm ready for it. It's time. And so him either like ruining MJF's win or helping Punk, I think, would feel very good.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Somehow sabotaging something Anyway, it seems like things are coming to a head, which is good because it's been a good slow burn, but it's getting to the point where it's like, all right, we gotta move this train along.
Yeah. I feel very ready for it. To me, it hasn't been too slow. I actually have been like, especially because I was thinking about it and I was like, it's really crazy to me that like a year ago I wouldn't have said like Wardlow is a player, like pretty much like in the game of characters, like I would have been like, yeah, Wardlow is like kind of a fun like background thing.
He's he's a Jake Kager type.
Exactly. Yeah. But then it's like, it's really kind of amazing that it's like, oh wow, you, without like having him do big promos or like telling us like too much like what his deal is, like, you've done a really good job of building that character in a way that like people you have been able to see week after week, the way people are like, oh no, we're really rooting for Wardlow. We love Wardlow. We want Wardlow to like be the guy.
Yeah, he got like such a big like Wardlow chant, and it's it's really cool to watch the crowd go along on those journeys for, like you said, he's barely said a word. It's just been like Wardlow's disappointed face, you know?
When he actually spoke out loud to MJF, I was a little bit startled because I was like, oh, I didn't know he talked.
I know.
He got pushed to his limits. So, and then MJF also in that promo was doing the thing where he was being like, you don't work for this, you don't work for AEW, you work for me, you're my employer. And I'm very interested in like what exactly they're going to do in the next stage of this. Cause I'm like, that has to enter into it where it's like Wardlow's going to like get he's going to work for AEW instead. Like you got to do something like that. That's where we're going.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see how they handle it.
It'll be interesting to see if Wardlow, once he does split from MJF, if he needs to find like someone else to stand behind. Because I think you said he was like, I can do promos. Just my character in this, like in AEW, is like the guy who stands behind people, basically. So it'll be interesting to see if he like moves out on his own and starts doing promos, or if he's like, now I'm gonna like back up, you know, CM Punk instead or whatever.
I think it'd be very sweet to see Wardlow discover like that, like someone that like he stands behind, but then sometimes they stand behind him, you know what I mean, like they kind of stand side by side. Like that'd be fun. I want partnership kind of for Wardlow. Yeah, maybe Jake Hager. Are you interested? only kidding, only joking. I am not sure that I really I don't know if I want Wardlow involved in the Punk MJF thing, and I don't really even think that I have a clear like feeling about whether it is probably gonna happen or not. But I kind of am like, I want him to win the ladder match, and then like the more stuff will happen from that. But I don't, if he's like
what if he won the ladder match and then won the TNT title and then he was like, MJF, screw you.
Hell yes, I would love that.
That'd be very dramatic.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
I'd love to see him take the title from Sammy.
I'd love to see anyone take the title from Sammy, who is using it quite ill, in my opinion. let's just get into that now, shall we? So, brief little check-in on the Sting, Darby, and Sammy situation. So, Sammy fought Andrade on Rampage and won, which fully made sense, but also my brain was just like, that's not right. Like, Sammy can beat Andrade. That's crazy. And then on Rampage tomorrow, I believe Sammy, Andrade, and Darby are all going to fight each other. Is that right?
Is that a three-way?
It's a three-way.
So none of them are on a team together. They're just one-on-one.
Are they fighting for anything? They're not fighting for the belt or anything, are they? Or are they? We don't know.
Everything about Sammy has been sliding out of my head. It's just, it's impossible.
It's loosey-goosey.
And this week I've just been dumber than usual. I feel like I've never had fewer thoughts in my little brain.
I'd say all of us have had our moments of really not knowing what's going on this week. and then at Revolution, Sammy, Darby, and Sting are going to fight Andrade, Matt Hardy, and Isaiah Cassidy. So, seems to be like a thing where it's like Sammy and Darby have some like mutual respect, so they're kind of like working together to like protect the belt. Or
has this been set up very well? I was very like, did I forget this? But when they ran out, I was like, what is Sammy doing with these guys?
Was like, yeah, it's kind of all been on the page, but I haven't been paying that much attention.
Every time Sammy's on screen, I'm just like, oh, I can check out now.
Because this, you might remember, maybe you won't, is that after the Andrade Sammy match, when like the Hardy family was like beating up Sammy or something, I don't know, that was when Darby, I think, ran out and did that thing where he like jumped into the ring and then cannonballed right out of it, where you're just like, where is the fucking energy coming from? Like, I can barely get out of my chair.
Little rocket pack. Yeah, I do remember that, but that all has been very like, Darby like Sammy now, but why?
I think it's coming from that moment in the ring where they like looked at each other in mutual respect, because they had that fight. Though they had the moment in the ring, and then they had the fight, and then Andrade ruined the fight, so Sammy didn't get a clean win against Darby, which I think, like, the thing about this is really the crux of the conversation, is that, like, Sammy is not contributing any characterization to this at all. Sammy hasn't given us anything that's, like, Sammy being like, Darby, I appreciate that you respect me. And like, I wish I'd had a clean win against you. And like, that's why like you and I are aligned right now. Like, fucking none of that. And that actually makes me kind of mad where I'm like, you have the stupid title, dude. Like, you can't just do your stupid promo cards. Like, give me something.
I was just going to say, what if he's doing all his characterization on those cards and we'll never fucking know?
We'll never know.
He's never read them.
Absolutely refuse.
Well, as I think like Anne pointed, one of you pointed out at one point where you're just like, as he reads them, he looks surprised. Like, oh, I did win.
Yeah, that was me. And I now I watch for him doing that. And that is the only good part where he's like, wow.
I did feel like the card bit was like mildly amusing when he first started doing it. But at this point, it's like, are we still doing this Love Actually thing? Like,
part
please.
Of it is that it's the only thing he does. And again, he's the stupid champion. Like,
yeah. It's crazy. Well, and it's like, that's why I can't remember anything going on here, because it's like when people just run out, it's like I can't remember anything about it because there's nothing emotional to hang on to. And Sammy hanging out with Darby and Sting just seems so unlikely that it's like, you need to give me like a couple of lines about why you like these guys, because like in AEW high school, you are not in cliques that ever interact, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and I don't even, like, that hasn't even been, like, my interpretation is that they, like, hang out or like each other. Like, my whole perception has been that, like, someone has this idea of, like, Andrade is, like, trying to steal us to work in his child's sweatshop or whatever. And we children, right. We small boy children, like, we at least can respect each other and say that we won't stand for that. Like, that has been the whole vibe to me.
See, that'd be good if they were, like,
if they
explicitly doing that.
Yeah.
If they were,
oh,
like,
right.
We need to twink unionize
head.
To stay out of the child's sweatshop, I'd be like, I love this storyline. This is the best thing that's ever happened, you know?
So many people could join that.
Yeah. Who is Andrade not going to try to buy?
I know. Wow. Yeah, but it's just like, it really, it makes me really annoyed at this point that I'm like, if you asked me to like say one thing other than like sure of himself that I'm supposed to think about Sammy as a character, I don't have anything. I don't know what he cares about. I don't know what he's
absolutely
scared of.
Nothing.
I don't know why he is doing things that he does. Like, it's lazy. It's bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And it's like, he likes doing flips and he doesn't like acting, I guess. But like at one point during this, I think the Sammy Andrade match, Jericho or someone was like, Sammy's really underrated in this company as a wrestler. He's a great wrestler. It's like, he's not underrated. He's overrated, if anything. Like, yeah, he's a good wrestler, but like,
it's actually the please. Only thing we ever rate him on.
Right.
He
exactly.
He doesn't get rated like, on anything else.
I know. And I'm like mad that I have to rate him so well in wrestling. I'm like, yeah, you're a great wrestler. I wish that you would do any other part of the job description.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seriously.
Okay, well, let's fucking move on. I've
soap operas for men. Give me some soap opera.
Yeah, I know.
Not just athletics.
I need my soap operas. Tony Khan had hyped a really big announcement for Dynamite this week, and it did turn out to be very big. It was kind of like one of the pie in the sky things that people have been like, what if he does this? So he bought Ring of Honor. We don't know what this means, I think we're in good company. No one really knows exactly what it's going to mean going forward. Like, we know that AEW didn't buy it. Tony Khan bought it through, like, separate money. So it's not owned by AEW, and we know that he has their tape catalog. And that's all we know. We don't really know what's going to happen with Ring of Honor. But we do know that because he bought Ring of Honor to celebrate, Christopher Daniels and Bryan Danielson had a wrestle because they wrestled at Ring of Honor once. That's all I know about that.
The first Ring of Honor.
Yeah, and that was fine. I don't have anything to say about it, really.
Yeah, it was totally fine. I thought Christopher Daniels had retired because his body was falling apart, but he honestly like looked pretty good.
But
so
he
maybe
still
like
has
a
that
10-month
eye
break,
stitch, right?
But
Yeah.
I started to second guess myself when he was moving so much and I like, couldn't get a look at it. Because, but he still
had big time.
He still had that. Big time eye. Oh, we still got that eye. But then I was like, is it a contact at this point? Like, it's like, it honestly wouldn't shock me if at some point it was just like, oh yeah, it looked really cool. So I just started wearing a contact to like keep it up.
It wouldn't shock me at all, actually. Yeah, it'd be a Malachi Black eye situation.
Yeah. No idea. But anyway, the only important thing is that after the match, which Danielson won and then did some like heel stuff to poor little Christopher.
Should we talk about Tony Khan's insane, crazy, dweeb, up energy?
He was stressing me out so much. Was reminding me, actually, of, like, we have a really, I'm on, like, a really quiet team at work, and sometimes we'll be in these meetings where, like, my manager, who's, like, really talkative, will be like, okay, so does anybody have anything to say to that? And, like, silence from everyone, and then she'll be like, wow, really quiet in here today. It's the same feeling where I'm just like, Tony, you're really stressing me out right now because you're like really high energy. But I guess he just wrapped his stupid deal like an hour earlier. So
yeah, it's crazy. He was opening his eyes so wide though. It was like the point where I was like, is he like trying to do a wrestling promo really hard? So he's like trying to bring a lot of intensity. And I don't know. It's just, it's cute. What a big, big dweeb.
And he was really like projecting. Like he was like, I gotta make my voice really big.
I got a really big announcement, guys.
It's genuinely so funny that he's must have watched more wrestling than I can even conceive of, and yet he learned nothing about how to talk to crowds.
He's like too excited though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where he's just like,
yeah, that's the vibe.
I'm living my dream.
Yeah, he's like a little kid who's like at their birthday party having the time of their life. They've had too much sugar. It's very exciting.
Yeah. He gets off stage, goes in the back, and immediately pukes.
Yeah. There's just one trash can that's labeled like Tony's puke bug. That's like after they do those bits where it's like they like brawl backstage and you see Tony looking there alarmed. Like the second the camera moves, they're like, Tony needs his puke bucket.
He's too happy. He got too happy.
Too excited. It's like when he posts screen caps of like his text to wrestlers and it'd be like 30 texts from Tony Khan and the wrestler would just text back like, okay, at the end.
Like, oh, it's not their fault they can't write good.
They're not. True. Okay. That is true.
Anyway, after the match, Mox came out and came into the ring and did this little speech at Bryan Danielson about, like, what if he wins? What if he loses at the PPV? Like, it was, like, really funny in that I was just like, oh, this is all kind of, it's kind of nothing, but, like, it's classic, sexy Mox nothing, where it's just, like,
I know.
You are thinking, like, potentially deep thoughts. It's hard to know for sure.
So you get kind of hypnotized by like the rhythm of his voice, and then afterwards you're like, I don't think he said that much,
happened.
But it was riveting.
Well, I'll read this little excerpt, or does one of you, would one of you like to read it?
He said, if I walk down one path, I get my head kicked in on Sunday and I fade into oblivion, but that's not going to happen. I choose to walk down another path. I will walk down bullets and through you. At the end of this path, I beat the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson. The story of Jon Moxley is just starting, and I write the first chapter that's going to be written in blood. This man loves to talk about blood.
Yeah. It's like, Mox,
he drinks blood. He's writing chapters in blood. He's bleeding with Bryan Danielson.
You can do anything with blood. That's his next book. Mm-hmm. You can do anything with blood. Yeah, it's like, Mox, you did actually, are you already published a full book? So I think we're like a couple chapters into your story. I didn't really know what it meant, but I was like, yeah, I hope you win.
No.
I love you so much.
Yeah.
I love you so much, baby.
I know. He's so good. And the way that Bryan Danielson was looking at him while he was saying all that was extremely electrified. I was like, these two.
It was the look of someone who's like, oh, I was right to propose marriage to you. This is the fire that I need for my dojo.
He's always going around to people being like, can you be violent? Can you be violent enough for me? And Mox is violent enough for him. He knows violence.
He knows violence real good. I mean, is it, so you think Mox is going to win or you think Danielson's going to win? And what do you think that means for the storyline?
Literally no idea. With Mox's like little speech, I was like, wait, so if he wins, does that mean they have to get married? Or like, is there any consequence to the marriage? If they bleed together good enough, then Mox will accept. Like,
it really feels like this isn't, oh my gosh. This really feels like it's not, like, it's like a background check, kind of. Like, it's like if you bleed good, like, you'll be considered for the position, but it doesn't, like, guarantee you the job.
Yeah.
Is that right? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think that's right. Where's Eddie, too? They're off having separate storylines.
And I hate it.
Mox isn't even divorced. How can he marry someone else? I know.
Bigamy is legal in no states. Oh, Lordy. Okay. Well, speaking of bigamy, too many beautiful boys. Let's talk about our casino battle royale. If I have to do one of these again, like think about what happened in it in the next month, I'm going to lose it. I don't have the energy. So we had a lot of teams. I'm not even going to read all of them. It's not important. Anyone you can think of was back in the game.
It was crazy how many there were. Like when the Young Bucks came out, I was like, okay, great. Like that seems like the total number of men. Like save the best for last. Great. But there, that was like halfway through. It was not even close.
Some of them, I was like, I'm not sure what you're adding here. Right. Like they, at least like the Gun Club had their very funny little spot. Like there was like the pretty picture or whatever the fuck they're going by. Wingmen, whatever. Like at least they had like a little bit of a bit. What was Brock Anderson and Shoddy Lee doing there?
They brought nothing to the table. Absolutely nothing.
What they brought was me feeling sad because I remember that poor big Shoddy Lee Johnson has been saddled with Brock Anderson, who's like an albatross around his neck. And I'm like, you need to learn with the other boys and girls how to do a good promo. And be a big star because you look so good and you wrestle so good. And instead you're with Brock.
It's crazy. It's such a waste.
It is nepotism. It simply is.
And it's not fair to drag someone else down in nepotism world. It's just not appropriate.
Horrible.
Yeah. Well, and I thought it was crazy just the way they organized the match, because for the first the first half of the men were coming out, I was like, this is so much better than last week. Like I can follow it. Like it's limited. But then like we really reached a peak where there were so many men I couldn't follow it again. And it's like, why don't you like eliminate more people like as you go to keep to like a reasonable number at a time? Because then some people came out like the Gun Club and stuff, and they got eliminated like within 30 seconds, which was fine and very funny, but it's like you could have done some of that earlier, like you know, knock them out, you know, as number four or whatever, and then I don't have to look at them.
It made me
I mean, I'm fine looking at them actually, but you know, just like I don't just bring down some of the congestion, like not everyone needs to be here at rush hour.
It did make me feel like there were a number of points where I was like, maybe I just like don't understand what, like this is like a what men want thing where they're like, the more men the better. That sounds like something a man would say, so maybe it's like that's what's going on backstage, is they're just like, that's what the men want, every man they can get.
Fill her up with men.
Can't get a full tank of men.
Just like, I want the ring topped off with men. I need an auto stop on my
oh my god. So the I don't know if they called it the Joker, but maybe they did. There was a free slot that turned out to be Top Flight, because Darius Martin was finally back. So cute.
I like barely recognize this boy. I'm like, I've seen Dante so much and it's been so long.
But he's handsome. Like I immediately was very like, handsome. You're a sweet boy.
He's the cuter member of Top Flight. Sorry.
He's also the older one, I think. So it's good to say that.
Yeah, so more appropriate.
Appropriate for sure. Is he not?
No, he is.
Okay. He's probably all of 22.
He is 22, yes, I believe. Yeah. 22 and 20, yes.
I got so excited and I kept turning to Sarah and telling her Top Flight facts. And our relationship is that she tells me facts and I don't retain them. And she was not impressed at all that I was like, I cannot believe that I'm not getting kudos for how many Top Flight facts.
I'm shocked that you know Top Flight facts. Like, what do you
know? Oh, I know a lot about
what?
Did you know that Top Flight has been fans of the Young Bucks since they were 10 years old.
I think I did know that, actually.
And that Dante slid into Matt Jackson's DMs and sent him a video.
Oh,
and Matt Jackson watched it, which he almost never watches videos in his DMs, and immediately got them on Dark. Oh. And then he and Nick sat in the crowd and watched their Dark match. And then Nick immediately went to Tony and was like, we have to have them for our first title, for our first match after we win the titles.
I'm going to cry. Brothers helping brothers.
And they call them the Younger Bucks.
That's so sweet. It makes total sense, because it's like they have that same thing where it's like you're just like the absolute like ease, the way that you elevate each other, because like Dante's been really impressive and like seeing them in the ring together, I was like, oh shit, you guys are good.
They're both are.
You are really good. And it was very sweet. They ended up, so the final three teams ended up being Young Bucks, Top Flight, and FTR. And then Dante Cash, I think, don't quote me, got eliminated. Then Dax got eliminated. And so then it was Darius in there with both the Young Bucks. And mm-hmm. he put up, like, it's like the whole thing had been set, you know, set up to, like, be like, he is the real deal. Like, he is so good. He can go against both of the Bucks. So,
Welcome back, buddy.
Yeah. So he ended up, like, making Matt eliminate Nick by accident, which I loved. And then going one-on-one with Matt Jackson for a while, and then Matt Jackson won. But it was such a, like, it was such a sweet push to me. Like, I mean, sweet is kind of bad to say, because it's like, he really deserves it. Like, he is extremely good. But also, it's just, like, very cute that, like, it was clear that it was like, you've been out for a while. Don't worry. You matter a lot. You still really matter here. It's really nice.
Yeah. Super nice. Yeah. And it is interesting to see, like, brothers, yeah, like, wrestling really well together. It's even, like, in tennis, like, in doubles, you know, like, Serena and Venus Williams are, like, super good at doubles. And then the top men's doubles are, like, a set of identical twins where it's just, like, like, yeah, you guys know each other really well and you've been doing this for your whole dang lives. So I guess that's an advantage.
I know. It's really sweet to think about the Jacksons giving them little brother advices and being, like, your brother is your best friend. Never forget that. And, like, Darius and Dante are, like, okay, we've actually got to go out with Hook now.
Right, the lads have a little thing happening.
Never forget that your brother will always have your back. Okay, I won't.
You're getting kind of intense.
Anyway, yeah, so Matt Jackson won at some point. I think it maybe was the Dax elimination. Red Dragon somehow were involved or were trying to be involved. Like, they were doing a thing where it seemed like Red Dragon were trying to, like, help them, and then afterwards we're being like, great, it'll be us in the match, so it's all good between us. Is that what you guys thought was going on?
Yeah, it seemed that way. It was like a little bit of a weird turn after they had, like, you know, been little nasty boys last week, but I guess they're trying to make up for it, probably, you know, for Adam Cole's sake.
Well, that does,
you know,
seem like actually happy, kind of classic, like, Red Dragon, because they do have a real, I don't know, it's like a fourth grade boy vibe where it's like, yeah, they, like, they put a frog in your lunchbox and then, like, two periods later they're, like, pretending to be nice. You're like, you know what I mean? That's never happened to me. I want to be clear.
It sounds like a specific anecdote, but it's actually not.
I think it sounded like a specific anecdote if it's like I was raised in, like, rural Alberta. Like, I don't,
it's sort of an Anne of Green Gables anecdote more than anything.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Any other thoughts on the old Battle Royale?
Yeah, it was fun overall. I liked Danhausen doing another curse, and then, you know, Trent had to be nice to Danhausen for helping him out with the curse, so that was nice to see.
It was the first, you know, niceness we've seen from
Trent. Been a little sassy lately. Yeah.
And even seconds before he said thank you, I was like, Greg, your whole demeanor is like this guy.
I know, seriously. My friend Jeff said that it was with Rocky Romero back. It's the Trent of New Japan, who's a meaner Trent.
Oh, so interesting.
He was like, he's got to rehabilitate.
You know, well, where's the Dustin of New Japan who may or may not be performing mental illnesses that may or may not be
I
real?
Know. Well, let's get some of that in here.
He's busy performing somebody who doesn't really enjoy wrestling that much.
Somebody who's not being booked. Yeah.
The amount of times that I looked for him and he was just chilling in the corner of the ring watching, having a good time.
Well, to be fair, that is your role in the corner of the ring.
If you're in the corner, you better be chilling.
You got a full chill.
Yeah. I mean, I do think it's like they did another every time I type Proud and Powerful PNP in the notes, and then I try to say Pride and Prejudice. So maybe I'll just start saying it. And if I say that, just deal with it. But
yeah, we're calling them Pride and Prejudice from now on. Yeah.
So Pride and Prejudice had another spot with Best Friends that I think also kind of got a pop. So it seemed like they potentially will revisit that. I think that they are. Best Friends are just kind of in a booking lull, I think, because they did just have their big feud. And that's nice that we let other people have a turn. But
yeah,
we've got to see
we're
our
very
boys.
Generous that way.
We've got to see our beautiful boys.
We need our beautiful boys all the time.
Let's also talk about our beautiful girls.
Oh, yeah.
Woo! Okay. So last week on Rampage, Britt and Thunder Rosa had a little in-ring contract signing for their Revolution match. which of course was about psychosexual warfare, as all contract 100%. Signings are. So they went back and forth about like their lights out match, and it was like more of the classic stuff where Britt was, oh, you want to see something?
And no, I also like, I really liked the visual of like Britt lounging, sitting in the chair, and Thunder Rosa standing in front of her like a petitioner.
Yeah,
I know. It's somehow funnier too. They keep using this just like normal office chair for people to sit in, and it's just much funnier. And it's like, I guess any kind of specific chair would be funny probably, but it's like, it just looks like what you have at your work desk
in the ring. It is like, it's just like, oh wow. And it probably was like kind of annoying to get that in there, maybe.
Yeah, right.
A lot of work.
Had to roll it out.
But yeah, so Britt's sitting, lounging in that chair, saying some actually mean stuff that like had the vibe of like, ooh, that's like really, it's kind of like, it might be true sort of thing.
Well, like, what, like what stuff kind of like for you was like, oh my God.
The part like that, all of the stuff about Thunder Rosa being jealous that the lights out match that Britt gets all the attention for, that no one ever remembers that Thunder Rosa was even in it, that Thunder, that Britt got the shirt and the doll and all of that, and that Thunder Rosa's begging for relevance sort of stuff. You're just like,
I was like rewatching that, and then I was like, it must be weird to be a wrestler, because it's like your coworker and you're saying kind of unforgivable things to them that might actually hurt their feelings like on some level. So kind of be interesting.
I was about to be like, I guess they're really self-actualized, and I was like, or really not.
One way or the other.
It was rough and real. So they signed that, but Thunder Rosa didn't, I mean, she did a little, it was a lot of Britt like coming at her, which I think will be relevant later maybe, but they signed the contract. Thunder Rosa lunged at Britt. We had like a big like melee where like all the women were coming out, and Mercedes Martinez came out to defend Thunder Rosa. So then we got a tag team match on Dynamite this week, which was Thunder Rosa and Mercedes versus Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker, which is was like really good for me, actually. Like, absolutely loved it personally. what did you guys think? Did you love it?
I really did.
Yeah, totally.
I know that like Jamie Hayter and Mercedes Martinez are not that much bigger than Britt and Thunder Rosa, but something about like their stance and how they operate makes it feel like it's like a Ricky Starks and Hobbs versus like,
they're playing.
I was thinking that too, because seeing them out there, I was like, oh, they're like almost the same size, but my perception of like Mercedes Martinez is that she's like 6 feet tall and like beefy, strong, you know? And she's like maybe an inch taller than
Right. You're like, those are hosses.
It's interesting to think, I wonder if they take that to when they do like the costumes and stuff, and I think they do, because like Jamie Hayter plays up the idea of being big, like she wears those big coats, like the whole, her whole look. And then Mercedes Martinez was doing the same thing. She was in like the kind of the cloak, whatever, her like Mad Max Fury Road vibe thing. Like they both like have costumes that really say like, I'm big. Like, it's just interesting to think about, like, I think it's a consideration. They're like, we want to seem at least like we're the big one in that duo.
And they must have like tall person energy, like people write articles about where it's like, you haven't met your coworker or you've only seen them on Zoom and it turns out they're really short, but they had tall person energy or whatever.
No, they definitely do. So there was like the feeling of like, oh, too big and too small. You love to see it.
And then they get out there and you're like, oh, they're all 5'6". Like, how about that?
Well, it's all smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. But and then anyway, the match ended with Thunder Rosa getting the pin on Britt, which was shocking because it's
very shocking.
They do a lot
Has Britt gotten pinned for like ever? I'm trying to remember.
I can't remember.
I feel like it's been a long time.
I think you're right.
Not that I probably would remember, but it was shocking enough that I was like, I feel like I haven't seen this for quite a while, if ever.
Because she,
I think Riho got her in one of their things, but not the one that mattered, obviously, because she's not champ. But like, I think Riho got her, but that was I think it's been a rarity. I think that's why Rebel usually,
especially
exists.
Like like in a tag match situation, it was like, oh
yeah,
shit.
Right, because usually they use the tag matches to be like, okay, and someone who doesn't matter can get the pin. So Thunder Rosa got the pin on Britt, and they're gonna fight at Revolution. What do you guys think it means? What games are they playing with us here?
I don't know. I mean, the law of these kind of matches means if Britt got pinned in the tag match, then she's going to win in the pay-per-view.
Do you think that's the AEW law, or do you think that's like, because the thing that people are always saying on Twitter is like, that is the deal in WWE, is that it's like 50-50 booking. Do you think that is what we've seen, or like...
It is what we've seen so far, right? Like when Chris Statlander was in that tag match with Britt and Rebel, right? Is that right? Or is it Jamie and Rebel? Jamie and Rebel, and she got pinned, right?
I guess.
And then, like, I think there was a big tag match with Rio right before.
I guess the tag matches are different to me. Well, I mean, this is
well, that's what I'm saying, is that we have seen a lot of the rhythm of right before the pay-per-view, there's a tag match with all of the mm-hmm. players. And then whoever loses the tag match wins the pay-per-view is usually what's been happening.
I guess I have no memory of that. Like, you're saying it very confidently, but that's not a feeling that I actually have.
That's interesting, because I do feel, it feels very natural to me that, like, especially with Britt, like, if it had been Jamie Hayter who got pinned, it would have been like, whatever. But with Britt getting pinned, it does feel like it opens up the possibility that she'll win. But also, like, I think they could easily zag. Like,
yeah. Well, because I wouldn't be shocked if they zagged, because it doesn't make like it. I'd be very shocked if Britt retained.
My immediate thought was that, like, and this is something I think the AEW in general is really good at, that I go into matches being like, I know exactly what's going to happen here. And then they do a really good job with the in-ring psychology, so that at a certain point I'm like, I don't know. And I'm really stressed. I actually don't know what's going to happen. So to me, I immediately, like, my thought was just like, okay, I think you are zagging me. Like, I think that, like, you don't want people going into tomorrow being like, we know the outcome. So you are trying to give the feeling of like, it's not as certain as you think it is.
I think that'd be smart of them to do, is like have Britt get pinned and then have her lose, you know, so you like do the reversal expectation. So you do try to outsmart yourself.
I think that's what I want. And I think, like, I'm very interested in what Britt is going to get up to after she loses the title, because, like, one of the feelings I actually did have about this feud was that I like it a lot. Like, it's like, especially compared to like lots of stuff that we got in the women's division, like last year or whatever. I'm like, this is much more robust. Like, you have multiple characters. They want different things, like blah, blah, blah. It's good. But it also isn't as rich and deep and like psychologically like built out as the best men's feuds that we've seen. Like, I agree with you, Leah, that like the stuff that like was coming up in this about the, you know, like, I got all the rub off that match and you got nothing, like, it's good. But also, they have worked that a few times, and they haven't done, we'll do three soliloquies and we'll deepen it, and you'll come back and say like, I don't want to be you. Like, I mean, I think she might have said something like that here, but like, it doesn't have that same like, you think it's about this, no, it's about this, actually it's about this, where you're like building to the like, this is actually how we see each other moment. It just has felt like a little bit like the way that it's being presented is just the way that it is, which isn't as rich as the feeling of like unfolding a deeper psychological issue.
Yeah, it's sort of interesting to talk about, because it's like, it's miles better than like the women's division stuff from a year ago, but it's also like not, it could definitely be. I especially feel like with, you know, Mercedes Martinez, like, just having joined and stuff, it's like we've kind of just barely scratched the surface of some of those interpersonal dynamics. So it will be interesting to see if they can kind of continue to build the world out there.
Yeah. So I'm really interested in, like, I think I do kind of feel like get the belt off Britt and then do some stuff with both of the characters, like do some with Thunder Rosa. I'm interested in, like, you're going to get, you're going to get some new, if you get them in feuds with other people and start to build out some of the stuff that happened in this feud, then you know, the soup gets richer.
I'd like for Thunder Rosa to have a little faction around her to have some dynamics with, you know. Yeah. And how long has Britt had the title? It's been forever.
Been a while.
Yeah.
Like, last summer at least.
Well, so was Chris All Out?
Yeah.
So she might have won it at last year's Revolution.
It was the one after, I think. It was the one in like May.
Oh, was it Double or Nothing?
I think it was Double or Nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. I don't know. We'll see what happens. And then our other title defense situation, the other half of that little duo. So let's start out with some comedy. This week on Being the Elite, Hangman finally spoke for us and approached John Silver and Alex Reynolds and asked, have you guys been sleeping with Adam Cole? And he meant, as I've written here.
It's so beautiful when you just read the whole monologue, because he starts with, have you been sleeping with him? You've been in bed with him, which obviously they have. And then, have you been fucking Adam Cole?
That's what I'm trying to ask you. Is that what's happening around here? You guys going pecker to hole? You going hole to hole? Pecker to pecker? I need to know. And then they all agreed that maybe they had done some hand stuff, but that was okay because they're friends. And Hangman was like, yeah, obviously hand stuff is fine. But I need to know that you guys are going to be on my side in our six-man tag with Red Dragon and Adam Cole, which they agreed that they would be. They were doing a little thing where they were like, you haven't been around, so we have to entertain ourselves, basically.
We got to be in someone's bed, Hangman.
Yeah, I believe they said we had to fill a hole. So good for them. But they said there's not going to be a bed in that ring, so don't worry. And he didn't have to. So the six-man tag ended up, like, we got some kissing pose with Adam Cole and Hangman. We got some, like, Adam Cole was kind of, like, avoiding fighting Hangman at various points and then, like, kind of going for him when he had already been, like, weakened by Red Dragon at other points. This one ended with Adam Cole pinning Alex Reynolds. And then in the recap that I read, I have no memory of this. After the match, Cole mounted Reynolds to add more punches. All right.
The things wrestling people say, just with no shame.
They'll say anything.
No awareness. They'll say anything.
Mounted him to add more punches. Which, anyway, so, and then Adam Cole duct taped and Red Dragon duct taped Hangman to the, like, ropes. So he was like, you know, like, just
doing Jesus just pose on the ropes,
doing Jesus pose and like wrestling and fighting and, you know, whatever. And then they like super kicked him, I think, and that's kind of how we ended, was that, like, Adam Cole, I think, was holding his belt. Am I making that up? Or I don't know,
he kind of slapped the belt onto Hangman's shoulder. I think
maybe that's
didn't
it. Okay.
He?
Well, maybe anything could be true. So, what y'all think?
It was good. I'm very, very into this little feud and Dark Order dynamics, and yeah, I love a little BDSM finish to a match. You know?
Yeah, they said, look, if Punk and MJF are allowed to do it, why can't we do it? And Tony said, I never said you couldn't do it. I'll let you guys do anything. Of course, I'll let you do BDSM on TV. I'll let you do it any week. And they said, thank God. And they did it. I've been kind of interested. This is not like the richest van of conversation recently, but I was interested in, like, Adam Cole was like beating up Alex Reynolds some more. They've been doing this like very funny thing on BTE where it's like he's like secretly friends with Silver and Reynolds. They've Stockholmed him, but like he doesn't want anyone to know about it. Like, he doesn't want Red Dragon to know about it. He doesn't want him to know that, like, he like actually thinks of them as friends. And like, it's very interesting. Like, Adam Cole has so many friends now that, like, it's like he's got plates in the air, and it's like, oh babe, those are, you know about gravity, right? Those are coming out of the air eventually.
Yeah. He's got a lot of relationships at odds with other relationships that should not go together, and it'll be real interesting to see them come crashing down. And I don't know how much the Reynolds Silver stuff is like just staying on BTE versus like turning into a whole thing, but I was interested to see Hangman like confronting them there,
right? Because it was funny to me where I was like, I can totally see that, like, that the Reynolds Silver thing with him starting out is just like a little like funny BTE joke and like becoming something bigger, that at a certain point you have to decide, you're like, oh, is it relevant to the what's actually going on with the character, and if so, how? Like, and obviously it's like the Dark Order are funny comedy, and so like the things that they do inherently matter less in terms of like my psychological like interpretation of what's going on. Like, they can get away with doing stuff that I'm like, oh, it's fine if you don't refer to that again, I don't care. It's like the same thing with Best Friends, kind of, where it's like, if you're working in that genre, you can do, you can be looser. But it was interesting that they were like, well, we're going to use it for this, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. They didn't do too much with it in the ring, I don't think. But it was, yeah, it was like just an intriguing little vein to pull on there, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, but this it was interesting to me that it's like, so obviously, like, it's different because Britt got pinned, but both these were the two champions, both got beaten in their pre-PPV match, which is another thing that made me feel like I think one of them will still lose and one of them will win.
Yeah. I feel like it's early for Hangman to lose. I would be disappointed.
I think it would
be
lost, crazy
so.
If Hangman lost to yeah. Adam Cole, and you know, whatever, prove me wrong, but I don't want that because it's. You know.
I don't want it either. I want my champion to always be the guy saying, "Are you fucking Adam Cole?"
I know.
On YouTube.com.
Okay, we are gonna skip. OC is gonna be in the ladder match, but we don't have time to talk about it except that he did show full butt.
I was really shocked. I wasn't looking at the screen, and in the group chat, someone was like, full butt. And then I was like, oh, I have to go back and like see Anthony Bowen's butt, I guess. But it was not his butt. It was those jeans come down.
Yeah, yeah, he got to know. He got grab.
It's funny because like I feel like it's he's flirted with danger a few times, but people usually grab the jeggings and then reveal yeah. the black tights. But Anthony Bowen's, he got a fistful of tights.
Good for
got
him. In there. Yeah.
And I love when you see butt and then he go into his role. So funny. So funny. That's comedy.
It's crazy that full butt happens in wrestling like pretty regularly.
We've seen a lot of butts now. We saw QT Marshall's butt. Full butt.
That was pretty notable.
That
we
was
all remember
yeah,
that
one
day.
Of the top butts. We saw sure. We saw the piggy bank. We saw the AEW piggy bank Jungle Boy pound butt.
Real full butt and full the butt. Camera was on the back, but yeah. I mean those little panties, I was wondering what the people on the other side saw.
No, it's like, do they ever see front? You know,
you know, I feel like sometimes they must, right? If the back's
if it goes down.
Down
the back, sometimes it goes down the front too. That's how clothes work. Interesting stuff, am I right? Ooh, yeah. Okay, we don't really have time to get into our full pay-per-view review. Is there anything that do we want to venture any guesses about what's going to happen at the pay-per-view that we haven't talked about yet, or no?
Oh darn, we don't have time to sound stupid.
You'll never so know what we feel. No, nothing.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? You think Jade's gonna beat Ty Conti, or do you think no.
Yeah, I think Jade's keeping it. Yeah,
you think you know.
Yeah.
Jade's going to be 50-0. We know it.
Oh, lordy. Lordy, lordy. Yeah, I'm just looking at the rest of these. I'm like, I really want Darby to get that win. I wonder if we'll get that. I wonder if Jeff Hardy's going to show up.
Oh, right. I wonder if Eddie Kingston's going to get the win. I hope he
I
does
want him to get the win.
Jericho.
We had a stupid, we have to get out of here, but we had a stupid promo from Chris Jericho this week where he was like being like, and you'll get the hand from me. Stupid. Where I was just like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, that's something whatever. We can very, very briefly say is do yeah. we think Santana and Ortiz meant it when they said that they were chill with him?
No. Well, their vibe was not very chill, but it was like it was a very funny wrestling thing where it's like they showed up to say nothing, shake his hand and be like, we're chill and then leave. And it's like, OK, well, I think if you were chill, you probably wouldn't even have showed up.
chill people just
their do heads. Their own thing, hang out in your dressing room,
yeah,
play your Nintendo Switch
it.
Like
that's right,
you don't do that. Yeah, I don't know. It'll be very, I guess I kind of forgot that like probably they'll show up at that match
yeah.
one way or another.
Yeah. It'll be interesting.
They can't be chill because Chris Jericho is real. No. The influencer has to be a heel. Like, I'm sorry, influencers are bad.
Yeah.
So,
influencers,
true. You know, I'll say it.
We as a society all know it.
Yeah. I know. We know that they're damaging us, of course. he has to, and he's like really leaning into a heel vibe with Eddie, where he's yeah. like being condescending. You know what I mean? So it's like, mm-hmm. and I think that like Santana and Ortiz are, they'll be. I think they're going to get the titles at some point in the next yeah. year and a half. I don't know. I think they'll be faces for that. So they can't be aligned with him.
Yeah.
Do you think that's right?
Yeah. I think it's
that
right.
Sounds really right.
Yeah. So they got to help our boy, Eddie. And Eddie's got to be like, I don't need your help. And then he went. And then he said, Mox, come on out. I want.
Mox, come with me and we can adopt these two boys, Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, I found Pride and Prejudice. Oh, I found some sons for us. Mox says, thank God. And I won too. We both won. Eddie, we won. So I think would you say that's our pay-per-view prediction?
Yeah, I think that's the best prediction ever.
Yeah. I agree.
Oh, and I get to go to the Impact pay-per-view this weekend in person because it's in my town of Louisville, Kentucky. We're going to be in the front row of Impact.
We're going to
face in the tunnel.
Where does Impact air? I'm going to have to watch to see you in the row.
I know. Yeah, I'll be on there. I don't know. Is it on like Fight TV or something? I have no idea.
I'm worried because I can't really take on any more sons at
but you do
this
have
time,
to
but
I know
I will have to watch of course to yeah, see you
you've got
to
see me
Should my daughter
tunnel talk
my mom
thank
my
you.
Mommy
thank you so much
my mommy I'll bring daughter
Marjorie can you cut into... all of that
why Leah I think that you are a little slap happy trigger finger over there when your co-hosts are expressing love for each other and you're
That's
trying
right.
to cut
pure
it
platonic love
yeah pure Wrestling platonic love. Family play okay on that note I've been Allie
I've been Anne
and I've been Leah
and this is Tunnel Talk our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich our theme is by Chris Corkin you can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod on all social media at Tunnel Talk Pod email tunneltalkpod@gmail.com please rate review and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts and come back next week to find out just how right we were about the pay-per-view
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.